This podcast is designed to help you understand the laws of our land. I am your host, Hattie Savari, and here to help you every step of the way, whether you are a tenant, landlord, parent, child, employee, employer, neighbour or business owner, and we are all most certainly consumers. The law is in your life every single day with over 180 episodes and 5 million downloads. Get ready to listen and empower yourself with tons of jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. Hello and welcome back to our podcast at Get Legally Speaking. Our legal conversation today will be on workplace references. I am joined by Senior Barrister Manus Egan from Thomas More Chambers in London. Manus is an experienced barrister providing practical and effective advice to a broad spectrum of clients, ranging from employees and employers through to small and medium-sized businesses, as well as FTSE-listed companies, local authorities and NHS trusts. Manus provides advice and representation to employment agencies and employment businesses in relation to their regulatory requirements. In addition, Manus acts for and against such agencies in relation to contractual disputes with clients and other related litigation. Manus, good morning to you, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Good morning, Hattie.
So here we are. Statista.com recently reported that the number of job vacancies in the United Kingdom reached a record high of 1.1 million in the 3 months of September 2021, over 500,000 more vacancies when compared with the same period in 2020. In 2021, there was 2.6 million people seeking either Job Seekers Allowance or Universal Credit because they were searching for work. This compares with 1.4 million in March 2020, before the pandemic began to take effect. Manus, I'm going to go straight into this. What do employers ask for in employment references? Why do they ask for employment references, sorry? And what type of questions do employers commonly ask and in employment reference? Let's discuss that, please.
Okay. Well, there can be many reasons why prospective employers ask for references. The principal ones, however, are to check the accuracy of an applicant's most recent employment history and ensure that the applicant or applicants have been honest about that. And also references can assist in weeding out unsuitable applicants and also assist potential employers in deciding between two or more equally qualified candidates. In terms of the type of questions that are asked, again, there can be a wide variety of questions that a prospective employer may seek an answer from. These can be objective in nature, such as the length of service, period of employment that the applicant had with the former employer, the position that individual had with the former employer, as well as the responsibilities and level of salary. Prospective employers can also ask subjective questions, such as asking for an assessment of the applicant's abilities, reliability, attendance, punctuality, and the like.
Very interesting now, whether a former it's very interesting that you say they can ask the applicant's salary, because I remember many years ago I had a friend of mine who within a five-year period jumped about three jobs, and every time he changed jobs, he used to say, well, I was on this much money. Well, actually, he was on a lot less. And I used to say, but aren't they going to find out? Isn't your new employer that you've applied for the job with, that you're potentially going with, going to find out that your salary wasn't that high when you were moving across? And he just seemed to think that they wouldn't, but I didn't actually know that your salary could be asked of your last employment. That's interesting.
Well, what I was going to say is a prospective employer can ask these questions. Whether the former employer will provide that information is an entirely different matter, and we'll come to that later on in this podcast.
Yes, indeed. I mean, I saw in our research when we're looking at what are the most commonly asked questions. How do you rate their work? Which is something you mentioned in terms of The work that was carried out, I guess it's the same sort of thing. But lots of people, I should imagine that at the moment and in the next sort of even up to 2 years, lots of people may be moving jobs, looking for new jobs as the economy and the world of work settles down or has adjusts to the new way of life and living. So it's quite interesting to hear these things because we don't actually ever think about work references unless you're waiting for one to come through in a job that you've applied for. And there is this little bit of a nervous feel around it all because you never know what can or can't be said. And there's lots of myths, I think, with regards to work references. And one of them, and this is the next question, is there a legal requirement for a reference from previous employers to be obtained by a new employer? And does an employer have to give an employment reference for a previous employee, or simply can they refuse to do so? Now, the myth is that you have to give a work reference, and it's illegal to give a bad work reference. So let's talk about that, Manus.
Okay. Well, the general answer to the question is no. In most situations, there is no obligation on a prospective employer to request a reference, and there's no obligation on a former employer to provide one. Having said that, a few caveats. First of all, in a few specific areas, there is a duty, a statutory duty, to provide references. First of all, if a person is seeking a job with an organization that carries out certain prescribed functions, as authorized by the Financial Conduct Authority or the Prudential Regulatory Authority, there is a detailed statutory process under which the prospective employer is under a duty to try and obtain detailed references from previous employers in respect of those job applicants.
So if the employer is in the financial sector, for example, yeah, we're saying that unless your business is regulated by the Financial Services or Financial Conduct Authority, generally there is no obligation for an employer to provide a reference for an ex-employee, and you're entitled to refuse one.
Well, as I say, there is a duty to seek such a reference if the organisation is authorised certain prescribed functions or authorised by the Financial Conduct Authority or the Prudential Regulatory Authority. It's not going to apply to each and every, it's not going to apply to cleaners, for example, or low-level admin staff.
Yeah.
But the more senior positions within banks and insurance companies and the like are likely to be covered by this.
Yes.
It's a complicated and fairly onerous regulatory regime.
Of course it is, Manus. It's the law. It has to be complicated.
Well, not necessarily, but in this area it is. And
yes,
if any individual is going through a job application process in these fields, they should be aware of these requirements for detailed references to be taken up.
Yes, yes.
The other area where there are statutory guidelines, statutory instrument and then guidelines from the Department of Education applies in the context of teachers in England and Wales. There's a requirement that where a candidate applies for employment at an academy or maintained school in England, that the governors of the previous school must, so there's a duty on the former employer, must, if asked, advise in writing whether the candidate has been the subject of capability proceedings within the last 2 years, and if so, provide details of those capability proceedings, how the concerns arose, how long they lasted, and how they were dealt with. And the Department of Education has issued guidance to apply the same requirement generally. It's not a statutory requirement, but it is Department of Education guidance in respect of all governing bodies of all schools in England and Wales.
To have to provide references. No, I get it. I see that some sectors they have to. And it's interesting the way you say the onus is on the ex-employer to provide.
The schools
that.
It is.
Yeah.
As I say, with the financial sector, insurance companies and banks and the like, the duty is more on the prospective employer to seek those references.
Sure, sure.
I would just, before we move on to another matter, I say whilst there's no general rule on former employers to provide references, they still need to be careful. Former employers may be exposed to claims by former employees, where they have a policy relating to the provision of references, or a custom and practice in relation to the provision of references, and fail to provide a reference in breach of that policy or custom and practice. Now, and I'm afraid I'm going to get a bit legalistic here.
Don't get too legalistic on me, Manus.
I'll try and give it as simple as possible.
I'm just holding it together here. Okay. Just keeping up with this now.
A failure to give a reference can be expose a former employer to potential liability under the Equality Act in circumstances where the former employee has brought a discrimination claim against the former employer.
So hold on. Let's just break that down. We're saying if the former employee has brought a discrimination claim against the former employer and the former employer gives a reference, a work reference, there could be an issue there.
There could be, but there could also be an issue if they do not give a reference.
Right. And that's what I wanted to just say something on. Not giving a reference, which an employer in most sectors, and we've mentioned the financial sector and the educational sector as sectors that cannot fall in that bracket of they don't provide a reference. In other sectors where employers say, well, you know what, simply just not going to provide one, surely in real life terms, any employer that's asked for a new employer that's asked for a reference from a previous employer doesn't get one. They just say, well, we've been refused one. That just automatically gives the feeling that that employee, that person that they were supposed to get the reference for, there's something not quite right there. Why, you know, as an employer, they might question, well, why did your ex-employer refuse to give a reference? Of course, unless the ex-employer just didn't respond to anything and didn't say, I'm not prepared to give a reference. Because saying I'm not prepared to give a reference to me would signal that there's something not quite right.
I would agree with you in general terms.
Yes.
I mean, of course, if the former employer has a policy of not giving references.
Well, that's a different thing.
But then, of course, you would hope that they would communicate that to the prospective employer that
yes.
they have a policy of not giving references.
Yes.
But yes, you know, absolutely. If the prospective employer asks for a reference, and the former employer says, no, we're not going to give one, it's almost inevitably going to have a negative connotation. As I say, just to take this point further, if the former employee has brought a discrimination claim or has, during their employment as a former employer, raised discrimination issues in the context of the workplace, for example, raising a grievance relating to alleged discrimination during work, and the former employer fails to provide a reference because they've either brought a discrimination claim or because they created problems at their former employment because they were raising issues about being discriminated against, for example, then in such circumstances, the former employer will probably have a fairly strong claim under the Equality Act or a claim of what's called victimization.
The employer or the employee?
No, the employee.
Right. Yes. That's interesting. So it will go above and beyond what their potential claims were before under discrimination.
Absolutely.
And it will be a further discriminative act potentially by an ex-employer. That's very interesting. So breaking that down in my mind, I would say that that translates to me as if you're a former employer, you've had issues, you may have been all the way through the tribunal and out the other side, and you've had to pay out and you feel bitter against your ex-employer and you're thinking, well, yeah, just not going to give you a reference because of that, then you could be exposed as an employer to further claims of discrimination as a result of that. I get
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
I get it. Well, explained like that, it makes, you know, it makes good sense to me, Manus. But
Can I just say, I've been doing this job for far too long, 30 years. Victimization claims are the easiest type of discrimination claim to succeed upon.
Wow.
And in terms of issues arising with regard to the provision of, the lack of provision of a reference, or the provision of a bad reference, or a reference that makes reference to employment claims, discrimination claims, which we'll come to later on again. Those types of claims in relation to references are the most common type of litigation that arise in the context of reference issues, either the failure to provide one or to provide one that makes reference to this guy, this woman has brought a discrimination claim against us.
Good God, that's interesting, isn't it? I would have never thought that. I would have never thought that discrimination claims in relation to references, work references, were the highest source of claims brought. But this is another biggie, a big myth. People say, and I said it in the past before I knew the points on it, that it's illegal to give a bad reference. So can a previous employer give a bad reference, or is it illegal to do so?
But the issue is not so much whether they can or cannot give a bad reference. It's more whether or not they give an accurate reference. There is established in law, there is a duty on a referee if it provides a reference. It owes the subject, i.e. in this situation, the departing employee. It owes that employee, the ex-employee, a duty to take reasonable care to ensure the information it contains is true, accurate, and fair, and does not give a misleading impression. And importantly, the same duty of care is owed by the party giving the referee, the former employer, to the prospective employer. So the same duty of care is owed to these two competing parties.
So,
and that can make life very difficult for the former employer in providing a reference.
In layman terms, because people say, you know, unfavourable, bad reference, however we want to dress it up, if the reference isn't, you know, great or doesn't say you're good enough, one can sit there and say, well, that wasn't a good reference. Your employer can give you a reference, a bad or unfavourable reference, but only if they genuinely believe it to be true and accurate, and if they have reasonable grounds for that belief. That's what
Absolutely.
We're saying. So we're saying
Absolutely.
It's not necessarily can they, it's not a case of they can't give you a bad reference. If they believe that the points they're going to raise are not favourable, and you might class them as bad, then they can disclose that information because they believe it to be true.
Again, with caveats. Objectively believe it's true. They can't just unreasonably subjectively believe it's true.
Yes.
Without it being based on objective facts. A breach of this duty of care gives rise to a potential claim in the civil courts under the tort of negligent misstatement. Now, courts have established, and frankly, you've largely set out the test, so well done. But the test in establishing the tort of negligent misstatement is that that where an employer does provide a reference, it owes the employee a duty to take reasonable care in the preparation of the reference. And if it doesn't take that reasonable care, it will be liable to the former employee and indeed the prospective employer if the breach of that duty of care causes any damage to the former employee as a result, or the prospective employer. Now, obviously, the damage in most cases would be to the former employee through not getting the job as a result of the negligent misstatement in the reference.
Yes.
And the duty of care extends to ensuring the accuracy of the facts upon which any opinion expressed in the reference was based. So it's this point that if you are going to give a subjective reference,
you've got to be able to back it up. You
can't
just say,
it's got to be on very based on clear, documented, provable, objective facts.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, because you can't just say, well, you know what, I didn't like them, I just didn't feel they performed well. And if that's damaging to an ex-employee when going to get a new role, and the potential new employer says to the agent in between who's trying to solicit the job role, or directly to the potential employee, sorry, but your references just didn't stack up, because most positions are subject to references. So if you restart the role and then the reference rolls in, and the new employer sort of goes, oh God, you know, we just can't take this person on based on these references. We can't keep them on. Mm-hmm. And you've lost that job. I think that's quite a powerful position to be in as an ex-employee, because you can say, well, when I say powerful position, what I mean is it's clear you lost the job because of the references. Whether you've got any liable claim against your ex-employer, i.e., You've got to be able to show that it's misleading or inaccurate. You've got to show that you've suffered a loss. For example, like I just said, the job that you were in or the job offer that you were given was withdrawn because of the references.
Yes, absolutely.
And that, you know, I think, and this was the next sort of subject that we wanted to discuss. What's initial
steps?
Sorry,
just before we move on, the negligent misstatement is one area where a cause of action may arise. But again, in terms of bad or unsatisfactory references, and we've touched on it before, the other main area where a former employer may have a cause of action, or if he or she is subject to a bad or negative reference, even in this case, if it's factually accurate, is in the field of discrimination.
So that's where it comes from. Now I get it. So even if it's accurate, even if an unfavourable reference, and I'm going to call it an unfavourable reference, okay, even if it's accurate, there still could be a claim by the ex-employee
absolutely.
On discrimination, which is why earlier you mentioned that one
I mentioned victimisation before.
Yes.
And I'm going to mention it again. Because, as I said before, it's the most common type of claim.
And that's what I was just about to say.
In relation to
work references.
Non-provision of reference or provision of a negative reference. And the most common example is where an employee resigns from the employer in the context of alleged discrimination, be it race, sex, age, one of the protected characteristics, and brings a claim against the former employer for whatever form of discrimination they're relying on. The claimant then seeks a new job, and the former employer provides a reference that states that the claim has been brought, and the prospective employer, as a result of that reference, does not give the claimant, the job applicant, the job. In those circumstances, the claimant will probably have an additional claim against the former employer for victimization, and will also have a claim against the prospective employer as well for victimization.
Oh my good God.
Well, because they're treating them detrimentally.
Yes,
because
as a result.
Because what is called the Protected Act, which is the original claim.
If somebody has brought a claim against an employer, why should they not be allowed to disclose that? That's what's happened. That's factual. I mean, look, I get it. Lots of arguments in law, and we can go blue in the face discussing this one. But surely, but I also get that it is a form of victimisation. But good
but
God,
it can
to,
be.
Yes, to drag the new employer, who's basically done nothing but given you a job offer, perhaps you've even started, again, subject to references and all of this stuff. And for them
the new employer is not innocent in that scenario, because the new employer is being told, inappropriately in my opinion, in most cases, that the employer brought a discrimination claim against the former employer.
Yes.
Now, of course, that's the only information the prospective employer has no idea whether there's any merit to that or not.
If they make the
decision that the job applicant is a troublemaker, therefore they don't want them, they're discriminating against that person, and they're discriminating because that person exercised their rights to bring a discrimination claim under the Equality Act.
I understand that, but let's just clarify this. We're not talking about a job reference as unfavourable that doesn't mention anything about any claims that have been brought to your previous employer. So it could be this person didn't have the skill set well while working with us. We found them to be slow, or we found their skill sets not to be up to scratch. We're not talking about that scenario where you can potentially say to your new employer, you're discriminating against me for letting me go based on or not giving me the job offer based on the work reference. We're saying in the scenario that there's been a discrimination claim between you and your ex-employer. Your ex-employer then divulges that to your potential new employer. New employer says, well, you've caused trouble there. You've brought a discrimination claim. We therefore can't have you working with us. Get it? Got it.
Yeah.
Right. Let's move on because we're running out of time.
Sure.
And I really want to pick your brains on this because I think it's very important. What are your practical tips for employers when providing references, Manus?
First of all, wherever possible, have a policy, preferably a written policy in place as to how you're going to deal with references. Especially if you're an employer with a large number of employees. And I would strongly suggest that that policy should state that the information that will be provided when a reference is sought is limited in nature and will only deal with objective matters. In this day and age, and in particular because there are potential, well, there are duties of care owed by the former employer, both to the departing employee and the prospective employer, it is very standard to have a policy that the only information that will be provided is the period of employment, namely from date A to date B, and identify the position that the employee was employed in, and nothing more. So, for example, when we were talking about earlier what questions can be asked, you can ask all the questions under the sun, but if the prospective employer has got any sense, he's not going to answer most of them. I would strongly that, you know, even the amount of salary point is not a
you
standard.
Don't have to. You don't have to, as an ex-employer.
No, you don't have to.
Answer. That's actually a very good point.
Yeah.
You don't have to answer all of the questions that's being asked for a prospective new employer.
I would absolutely advise that any employer have a policy in place that is very limited and will only provide objective, not subjective information, because once you get subjective, you're increasing
hairy exposure. Territory.
Yes, absolutely. So any reference should be start with the wording, we have a policy of only providing the following information in the reference: period of employment, position, and that's it. Then the next thing I would advise, a practical tip for employers, is that they have, both within their written policy and importantly referred to in the reference letter, a disclaimer, namely that they cannot be held liable for any of the information contained within the reference. And this is because it has been established, it is now quite well established by the High Court, that a clear disclaimer within a reference will ensure that there is no duty of care arising to the recipient of the reference, the prospective employer.
Wow.
So it gets completely around the issue of
liability
for negligent misstatement to the new employer. So therefore, arguably a reference that doesn't make reference to the fact that a discrimination claim has been brought could be arguably regarded as misleading because it's not giving all the information. But if the reference letter clearly says, disclaims any liability for the contents of the reference, it protects the former employer, absolutely, in relation to the prospective employer. And then just a couple of other
points. Very important points.
Yes. If you have a policy, stick to it. There is little worse. I mean, I say this,
yes.
But employers and the individuals who are acting, in the employer capacity, managers, owners, and what have you, can get emotional and worked up when they're facing claims, especially if they feel rightly or wrongly there's little merit to them, and can let rip.
Yes.
So if you've got a policy that says, for example, we'll only provide you with objective information, A, B, and C, and then the employer decides either in the reference or to call them up, which, believe me, happens. I've got a case at the moment where they've done this. Call up and just provide a load of negative information in the context of ongoing proceedings and formal grievances.
Oh, gosh.
Fortunately, I'm for the claimant in that matter, because I don't think the former employer has much of a leg to stand on.
Yes.
There's little worse than having a policy that makes sense and then deviating from it, especially if the deviation causes the loss.
Yes.
And then I just make in very general terms, there are GDPR and privacy issues in relation to references. It contains personal information. We don't have the time to go through it today.
That's going to be a part two, Manus.
Absolutely. But, at the very least, ensure that when you provide a reference, make sure it's marked private and confidential. And again, insofar as whatever information you provide, it must be fair, accurate, and not misleading. But if you stick to the very limited policy with it being objective, employment from date A until date B in the position of...
Don't forget the disclaimer. Don't forget the disclaimer.
And with the disclaimer, with the disclaimer and with stating this is our policy to only provide that,
yes,
then in the vast majority of cases, the former employer will have removed any risk of exposure to any form of litigation.
Manus, they are golden, golden top tips, I have to say. The gov.uk website also has a wealth of free information on this topic. Just type in workers' rights into the search bar on their website. Another really useful website where you can obtain information both for employers and employees and help is on the acas.org.uk website. Again, type in employment references where you'll find a lot of information and advice available. Manus, I cannot thank you enough for your time today. It's been brilliant. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Yes, I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming on to this podcast as my guest. And as I said, this is just a part one. So I will reel you in at some point for further parts and segments of the law that we can further break down and bring to our listeners. And what I will say is don't forget to click and subscribe to our podcasts. And you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn and YouTube by searching Get Legally Speaking. Also visit our website at getlegallyspeaking.com. Thank you for listening.